Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey, once again, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through these radio waves and radio broadcasts and share with y'all, you know, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know, as I tell y'all all the time on this broadcast, you know, I don't have but one assignment, you know, and that assignment is this, you know, go into all the world and make disciples of all men and teach them all that I've taught you. In the Bible, that's called a Great Commission, you know, and that's the message that God commanded us to go and share. He said, do what? He said, go and make disciples of all men. A disciple is a student, a learner, you know. How you do that, Arthur? By teaching them all that I've taught you. You know, and everything that he's taught me through my study of God's word for the last 43 years, you know, is one message. And that message is this, you know. The gospel of the kingdom, you know, and I discovered a long time ago when I first went to Bible seminary or Bible college, you know, they taught me in Old Testament 101 that the theme of the Old Testament was the restoration of God's kingdom. And, you know, and they taught me a whole lot of things in Bible college, you know, and then, you know, to my amazement, I found out that even though they taught me that the Bible was about the restoration of God's kingdom, yet there was no curriculum or no Bible classes on the kingdom of God, you know. They taught me how to teach. They taught me hermeneutics. They taught me about the Holy Spirit. They taught me principles of teaching. They taught me how to study the Bible. They taught me a whole lot of things, the canon of the Bible, the literature of the Bible. But they never gave me the message, you know. And And so I was educated in certain ways, you know, but I wasn't educated, you know, with the right message, you know. So in the beginning of our ministry, we began to preach and to teach, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until I heard a man say long time ago one day as he was preparing to share with a congregation that he was visiting, he said as he was in his hotel room meditating and studying, you know, what he was going to share with the people that evening, you know, he said, the Lord asked him a question. He said, the Spirit asked him a question and asked him this. He said, what are you going to teach the people? And he said, he told him, he said, I'm going to teach the people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, the Holy Spirit told him, and he said this. The Holy Spirit told him this. He said, that's what's wrong with my church now. And he started rebuking that spirit because he thought it was a different spirit, you know, because all he knew was the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he started rebuking that spirit, and the Spirit said it again. The Holy Spirit told him again. He said, that's what's wrong with my church now. They've been preaching the gospel of Jesus instead of the gospel that Jesus preached. You know, and that kind of revolutionized my life. In fact, that changed my whole life and my whole way of studying, you know. And I kind of realized, you know, that there are a lot of gospel in the Bible. The word gospel is simply good news or glad tidings. So there's a lot of good news and there's a lot of glad tidings in the Bible. Got some bad news in there, too. But the good news or the gospel is that he showed me what was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he said, and the Holy Spirit told him, he said, I want you to buy a brand new Bible. And I want you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as though you had never read it before. And I will show you, you know, not only the gospel of Jesus, but the gospel that Jesus preached. You know, so I went and bought me a brand new Bible. I bought the New Living Translation, I bought the Amplified Bible, and I bought the NIV translation of the Bible. And I began to read, you know, and as I began to read, I discovered something in there, in those four gospels, that I had never seen before. And what I discovered was a specific message. And I realized as I kept on reading it, that it was like a treasure that was hid in a field, you know. And I discovered that the treasure wasn't hidden from us, it was hidden for us. And the treasure that I discovered that was hidden in the field was the gospel of the kingdom. God said this, you know, the gospel of the kingdom is like a treasure that's hid in the field. And when a man discovered that treasure, he'll go sell everything that he got and he'll come back and purchase that field so that he might have that treasure of great price. Another place in the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a person who had discovered a great pearl, you know. And out of all the pearls and out of all the treasure that it was the greatest of them all. And so he sold everything that he had and purchased that one pearl. And as I begin to read, you know, on every page in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the subject matter to everything that Jesus Christ was proclaiming and talking about to the people of God and mankind was the gospel of the kingdom. Everything that he was talking about, I mean everything that he was talking about, was the good news about a kingdom. And it wasn't just any kingdom. It was the good news about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the good news about it that I discovered that revolutionized my life was, that's available to us right now. This is what Jesus said in the beginning of his ministry. After he had was led of the Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil, and after he put the devil on his feet, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost, and the people, man, from that time forth saw a great light. And the Bible says, and from that time forth, Jesus Christ began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. What did he say, Arthur? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is within your reach. And then all the way through the rest of his Bible, the rest of everything that he was talking about was pertaining to the kingdom of God. He said another place, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking great pearls. And when he had found a pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind again, the place in there, he said, well, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Another place in the Bible, he say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except he be born of the spirit of the water, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Another place, he says, the kingdom of God was like a woman who took and hid 3 measures of meal until it was leavened. All through the Bible, he's just speaking about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Another place, he says, anyone who, the kingdom of God is like a sower who went out to sow. And anyone who hid the word of the kingdom and understanding it not, then cometh the wicked one and snatched that away, which was sown in his heart. You know, all through the Bible, you know, he was talking about one subject matter, different aspects of it, but he just had one message. And it was all about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the gospel about it, the good news about it was, that's available to us right now. And, you know, and to my amazement, you know, like I told you, you know, I don't have but one assignment from God. He said, go and make disciples of all men and teach them what I taught you. And from that time, everything that he taught me for the last 40 years was things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, even when he sent the 12 disciples out, he said this, go preach this message, the kingdom of God, and tell the people that the kingdom of God is at hand. Cast out devils and heal the sick. You know, everything that he, and again, you know, even at the end of his ministry, when he was getting ready to be crucified, you know, and they took him before Pilate, you know, the governor, you know, of that region at that time. And Pilate asked him a question. He said, are you a king? And Jesus said, you're right, I am a king. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world, you know. Hey, that's at the end of his ministry, you know. It went right before he was getting ready to be crucified. And after he was crucified and after he was buried and after he was resurrected, the Bible say in the book of Acts, he say he appeared unto his disciples for 40 days with unfallible proof, you know, speaking unto them things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So I discovered that treasure that was in the field, you know, and that treasure was the gospel of the kingdom. And like I say, it's not any kingdom. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the good news about it was a gift from God. It was our inheritance, and it was available to us right now. And all it took for us to get it was to believe that gospel. You know what gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. What's the good news about it? That's not in the sweet by and by. Yes, it's in the sweet by and by, you know, but it's in the right here and now also. And if we're not careful, we'll get preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. What's the means? You know, the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus, you know, all the things that Jesus did, you know, how Jesus opened blind eyes, how Jesus unstopped deaf ears, how Jesus cast out devils, how Jesus healed all manner of sickness and diseases, how Jesus went about all the regions of Galilee, you know, and doing great and mighty works. How Jesus, you know, hung, bled, and died. You know, how Jesus was raised from the grave. How Jesus was raised and seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers and dominions and might. In other words, far above all circumstance, situation, and symptom that opposes itself against the perfect will of God for our lives. Jesus Christ come with one message, family, you know, and that message was the gospel of the kingdom. Now, this is what amazed me, you know, after discovering that. I couldn't find out that after that, you know, as I begin to listen to radio and to Christian television and everything else, I saw that, boy, we were preaching everything but the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, you know, I would say to you, you know, you do the math, you know. How many messages in your time of service to God and your time of going to church, how many messages have you heard where the subject matter was the kingdom of heaven and that the kingdom of heaven was your inheritance and that it was available to you right now? Again, you know, you do the math. Here's another question. Majority of Christians, of believers in the Western world, they know very little about the gospel of the kingdom. They have very little faith in that fact that all of the kingdom of heaven is available to us right now. And you know why? It's because, man, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And listen, if you ain't been hearing the gospel of the kingdom, then you won't have no faith in the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom again? That all of the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance. Another place in the Bible said this here, come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance, what? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. What did he say, Doc? Say to you, all of you, come what? Come get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that belong to you, that belong to us. Something that we trying to get, something that's already ours. We trying to live the best we can in hopes that we make it to heaven and we're going to live forever and ever with God in heaven. You know, and that's most believers' concepts. That's the big picture that they have, you know, of what God is really doing. And that's not really your destination. That's not the end of your destination. For again, the Bible teaches this, you know. It says, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say we're not going to heaven. But if you die right now, you're going to go to heaven. You know, but that's not where you're going to spend your eternity. Your eternal destination is not going to be in heaven. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, after all that going on to heaven, after the devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all the demon co-hosts, after all of them, death, hell, and grave, after all of them were cast into the lake of fire, then the Bible said, now behold, I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. Well, where the end going to be? Where the destination, the final destination going to be? They're going to be in heaven. But it ain't going to be in heaven where God's territory is. It's going to be in heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. In fact, you might not understand it, but, you know, remember I said earlier, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understanding it not, then the devil coming immediately to rob it out your heart, because that's the last thing he ever wants you to come to the knowledge of, and that's the gospel of the kingdom. Because he know that once you come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom, that his rule and his reign over your life will be broken. You'll come to discover that the devil had no authority, no power over our lives, no more. That he's a defeated foe, and that his kingdom has come down. And those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him in our lives as our Savior have been translated out of this kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God, dear son. When? The moment you believe. That's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Say it is. Thanks be unto God who has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God, dear son. I told y'all through the Bible, it just pertaining to one thing. Like I said earlier, the theme of the Old Testament is the restoration of God's kingdom. And the theme of the New Testament was that kingdom has been restored. Everything from Genesis chapter 3 in your Bible, you know, all the way to the end of the Old Testament and Malachi was means to which God would get his kingdom restored back on the earth. As you have heard me say many times on this broadcast, that the first two chapters in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, are the only two perfect chapters in the Bible. And unless you understand those two perfect chapters in the Bible, then you won't understand what God really is doing, what his original intent and what his original idea and plan and purpose and destiny for mankind's life and for us, for the earth, for him creating us in his image and likeness, for him creating the heavens and the earth, and for him putting us on the earth. You know, in those first two chapters, God set up the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God on the earth. And he planted an environment and an atmosphere, you know. And he called that garden that he had planted, he called it the Garden of Eden. If we break it down to a simple term, all it is a little carbon copy of the kingdom of heaven on a spot for a moment on the earth with an open door into a delightful place where the the atmosphere and environment that comes from the literal presence of the Most High God. Can you imagine what it would be like if Almighty God come in, sit down in your living room with you, man, right there, man, next to you, and, man, took up residence, man, and with you? I mean, not the song that we sang, the presence of the Lord. I'm talking about, boy, his literal presence. But come in and dwell right there where you are. Can you imagine what kind of atmosphere, what kind of environment that would create? The presence of the Lord right there where you are. Boy, that would be peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Peace that passes all understanding. Boy, you would know that you know that you know in that place there, boy, that everything is all right. Because you would be in the presence of the Lord. You wouldn't be worried about nothing. And boy, you know what the good news is, what the gospel is, man? Hallelujah. He set that up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where he walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. There was no sin. There was no rebellion. It was just God and his family of sons, mankind, that was all in Adam and Eve, boy. And they had unbroken fellowship, man. I'm talking about the literal presence of the Lord. And all he had to do was grow in that place and keep on becoming who they already were created to be. What? Sons and daughters of the Most High God, created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. Same character, same nature, same functioning abilities as Almighty God. And can you imagine that? That's what go ahead going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And in Genesis chapter 3, he lost that. And when Adam disobeyed God, and they got put out of that atmosphere and out of that environment and out of that place and out of the Garden of Eden and into a barren land. And instead of it being on earth as it is in heaven, it's on earth as it is here now. You know, they call that the law of what? Of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? God told the man, you can eat off all the trees in this garden that you want to, that you're free to eat off of. But don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat off that tree, then you're going to activate die, and die going to kill you, and you're going to find yourself separated from me. He said you're going to surely die. The death that he was talking about there is not physical death, even though physical death was a result of that. But the death that he was telling Adam that you're going to surely die, if you eat off that tree, he was saying you're going to surely separate yourself from me, from my presence, from this atmosphere, from this environment. From your sovereignty, your dominion, your raw power. You're going to separate yourself from your identity. You're going to separate yourself from the kingdom of heaven. You're going to separate yourself from righteousness. You're going to separate yourself from the Holy Spirit. You're going to separate yourself from the secret place of the Most High God. You're going to separate yourself from God. That's spiritual death. And as a result of spiritual death, then eventually, you know, man experienced physical death. Even though he lived 930 years, yet because he was spiritually separated from God, then his spirit, man, left his physical body, and his body went back to the dust of the ground, and, man, his spirit went back to where it came from. Where it came from? It came from heaven. It came from God. You know, that's where you originated at. You originated in heaven. There's a lot of things that you don't know, you know, and I discovered this, you know, that the average believer, you know, they don't know the Bible. They don't know God's precepts. So the concepts that they have, you know, of God or the ideas that they have of God or the big picture that they have of God, a lot of it is misconceptions because you don't know God's precepts. Precept is the original idea. The original intent, the original purpose. The Bible says this in one place in the Bible, it says, Proverbs, I think it is, it says this, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. Another place in the Bible where David wrote this, he said, Lord, teach me your precepts, Psalms 119 chapter. He said, if you teach me your precepts, well, you know, then I will have good understanding, and then I will know what you're really doing and what this thing is really all about and who I really am and where I really come from and why I'm really here and what the potential that I really have, what I really can do, and where I'm going to really end up in. That was a mankind's age-old question. Who are we? Where we come from? Why are we here on this earth? What can we do? And where are we going to end up at? Those are mankind's age-old questions. And because of a lack of knowledge of death, then we living and dying like mere men and mere women, when all the time we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, created in His image and in His life, with His functioning ability, with the ability to rule and reign over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts our lives here on the earth. But instead of living that way, we living and dying like mere men and mere women. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. God said in the book of Hosea, you know, He said, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So the people who were majority of believers, they don't know the Bible. You know, they know a few verses and a few scriptures in it, but they don't know the Bible. Listen, boy, that's what the devil wants to do more than anything else, boy. He want to keep you from the knowledge of the truth. He want to keep you, man, from becoming a disciple. He don't mind you being a member of a church. He don't mind you being a Baptist, a Methodist, a Muslim, a Hindu, or whatever. You know, he don't mind you being none of those things, you know, none of those religions. Now, I'm not talking about the Baptist people. But I'm talking about the Baptist religion and the Muslim religion and the Christian religion. As far as the people are concerned, like I say, we are all mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. But because of a lack of knowledge of what God is really doing and a lack of knowledge of the kingdom of God, then we living and dying like mere men and mere women. And we trying our best to make it in. When all the time, boy, the weight had already been made for us. The price had already been paid for our sin. And the doors are already open. What doors, man? The door into all of the kingdom of heaven. That's who Jesus is. He's the door. He's not it. He's the way to it. And if we're not preoccupied, if we're not careful, we'll get preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. I say this a lot on the radio, and it bears repeating, you know, because it's one thing about the gospel, like I say, of the kingdom. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, boy, I mean, you know, and the reason why the church don't have a lot of faith in the reality and the truth that all of the kingdom of heaven is available to us right now, and that is our inheritance, and that it is a gift from God, is because you ain't been preached that. You've been preached the means. You've been preached the good news about Jesus instead of the good news that Jesus preached. Now, the good news about Jesus, that'll get you saved, man. You know, don't misunderstand me. That's good news, and that's a very needed message. And that'll get you, boy, saved, but that won't get you your inheritance. And you'll be just like the children of Israel, man, when Moses delivered them out of Egypt and from the bondage of and slavery of Pharaoh's, man. And the purpose for him saving them or delivering them from Pharaoh's in Egypt is for them to come out into the wilderness, worship God, and then enter into the promised land, enter into, boy, back into the kingdom of heaven, come on back into the secret place of the Most High God, come on back into the Garden of Eden that Jesus Christ came and brought with him on his shoulder when he came. That's what he came with. That's what he came to bring back. That's what he came to restore, was the relationship that mankind had with God in the garden when Adam was walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's what Jesus Christ come to restore back to us, that relationship. Can you imagine what life was like when Adam and Eve was on the earth in the Garden of Eden, in the literal presence of the Most High God, living in righteousness and holiness, with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, with all of the character and nature of God on the inside of them? Can you imagine what life was like before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That kind of life they lost when they disobeyed and willfully rebelled against the will of God, when they disobeyed God. But when Jesus Christ came, that's what he came to bring back. He came to bring that life back. He came to restore us back to that relationship and cleanse us up from all our unrighteousness so that we can fulfill that scripture that we know of in the Bible where it says, come boldly to the throne of God's grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How come people don't go boldly to the throne of God's grace? Because they ain't got no confidence. No confidence in what, man? That you can go there, you know, without any sense of guilt and condemnation. Why is that, Arthur? Because they don't have, man, you know, the precepts and the right concepts of the righteousness of God. Most believers, you know, are doing, man, you know, if you ask them, are they righteous? Are they the righteousness of God? Most of them would say no. When all the time, man, you are as righteous as you ever going to be. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, thanks be unto God, you know, who, you know, and this is what he did, you know. He said this, for he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, God made him to be sin so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God. For this reason, so that we can go into all the world and let the world know that God was in his son, Jesus Christ, reconciling the world back unto himself, not imputing our trespasses against us. For as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our sins from us. He's declared us righteousness. And this righteousness is not of our works. It will produce good works, but it's not our works that has gotten us this righteousness. It's our faith and the love that God has for us that he displayed, boy, when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, who while we was yet in our sins, hung, bled, and died. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we might be made the righteousness of God. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of the Most High God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Being able to come boldly to the throne of God's grace and obtain, boy, grace and find mercy and grace to help us in any time that we have need of. See, if you don't know that you're the righteousness of God, then you'll come cowardly. You'll come all bent over. You'll become, man, you'll be condemned. Instead of, man, you know, knowing that you are the righteousness of God, that you are as righteous as you ever going to be. Listen, I'm going to say it again. You are as righteous as you are ever going to be. You've been made righteousness. And your righteousness, you know, is through faith. And that's not of yourself. That's a gift from God. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. It ain't nothing you can do to earn salvation or to get salvation. That's how much God loves you. Hey, he loved you so much that he knew that what you couldn't do, that was impossible for you to do, redeem out your life from this destruction that Adam sold us into. He knew that in and of ourselves, we could never accomplish salvation. So he accomplished it for us by coming to this earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and listen, didn't condemn us, but condemn sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. So what praise was God? So that we can come and get all of our inheritance. What's our inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Let me say it in a simpler way if I can, you know. Instead of trying to live good and quit doing this and quit doing that and so that we can get to heaven, we ought to start doing all that and living that way, man, because heaven came back to us. Because we have been translated out of this kingdom of darkness and ignorance and not knowing, man, what God is really doing over into the kingdom of his dear son, over back into the kingdom of heaven, back into the Garden of Eden, back into that secret place of the Most High God, where we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, where we can say of God, he's our refuge, he's our fortress, he's our God. We can put all our confidence and trust in him. 1,000 can fall at our right hand, 10,000 at our left hand, but it won't even be able to touch us. Hallelujah. And with long life will he satisfy us with and show us his salvation. And the long life that he satisfies us with is everlasting life, eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And boy, that's a gift from God. What you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the gospel of the kingdom. I'm talking about the good news about your salvation and all that your salvation, man, has gotten for you. what my salvation has gotten for you. Why did God save me? Saved is not the goal. Saved is the means to a goal. He saved us for a purpose. And that purpose is so that we can come back into the kingdom of heaven and start living our lives, man, as though we were already there, and start charting our course toward that destination. Listen, you ain't going to never get to live in the fullness of it, man, in this life on this earth. But my point is, you ain't got to wait till you die to get to the sweet by and by and hope that you make it to heaven. Listen, boy, heaven came to you. And boy, listen, it's your inheritance. It belongs to you. And all you got to do is receive it. And all you got to do, the Bible says, what is eternal life? He said, this is eternal life, that you believe in Jesus Christ who he sent. That you believe what? The gospel. What? You believe in Jesus who he sent. He said to do what? To redeem our life from destruction. The Bible said this, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within us. Bless his holy name. And forget not his benefits, who forgive all our iniquities, who heal all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies so that our youth is renewed like the eagles, who restores back to us everything that we lost in Adam. Hallelujah. Restore it back to us already. So instead of living your life trying to get saved, you ought to be living your life, man, because you are saved. You're not trying to quit sinning and quit doing this and obeying the Ten Commandments so that you could get saved, but you're going to be doing that because you are saved. And when you realize that you are saved already and that's not of yourself, it's a gift from God, then you won't want to sin. When you realize how much God loves you and you begin to experience that love of God that he has for you and I, boy, let me tell you something, you're going to want to love him. In fact, you're not only going to want to love him, you're going to love him, and you're going to continually grow in love with him. And Jesus say, don't keep my commandments, man, because you're trying to make it to heaven, but keep my commandments because you love me. And he said, the only way you can love me to that place where you keep my commandments, he said, I got to first love you. And he said, I'm going to show you my love for you first. Why? He said, I'm going to die for your sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to show my love for you first. I'm going to die for you while you're yet in your sins. I ain't going to wait till you get everything together and then save you. I'm going to save you while you still wilding out. I'm going to save you while you still disobeying. I'm going to save you while you still rebelling again. I'm going to save you not only, man, you know, from your sins. I'm going to save you in your sins too. But what purpose, Arthur, man, so that you might come out of sin and begin to walk in the marvelous light, that you might walk in the righteousness of God, that you might live right, that you might talk right, that you might walk right, that everything, man, is of a righteous consciousness. And the fruit of righteousness is holiness. When you realize, when you begin to realize, the only way you can realize that is through knowledge. Well, now that's why God say my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You don't know that you are the righteousness of God already. And if you don't know that, you'll be trying to get righteous. You'll be trying to get in right standings with God when you already have been placed in right standing in God, been made the righteousness of God, you know. How are they? Through your works? No, but through your faith in God's love for you and God's love for all mankind. Listen, he's not willing that none should perish, but that all men will be saved. Hallelujah. And how is he getting that done, boy? Through this gospel of the kingdom. Paul said it this way. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. In other words, that's to everybody, the saved and the unsaved. Hallelujah. If you're unsaved, boy, then this gospel, boy, of the kingdom of God is available to you. And, boy, and watch this here. And when you receive it, you will no longer be the unsaved. You will be the saved. You will no longer be a Gentile. You'll be of the royal family of the Most High God. You would be like the Bible said in 1 Peter, you'd be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation, a peculiar people, bought with a precious price. What price is that? Bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, redeemed from the law of sin and death, and having restored back to you everything that you lost. What are you trying to tell us, Arthur, in plain and simple words? I'm trying to tell you, boy, that you are already saved. Now, in order for you to have that and receive that and live that way, you got to receive that. You got to grab a hold of that. You got to seize that. You got to place that in your possession. Instead of trying to get saved, you just start need to start just being saved. Instead of trying to get saved, instead of trying to get what's already ours, we ought to just start having what's already ours. We too busy trying to get what we already have instead of having what's already ours. You're trying to get saved when all the time, boy, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and saved you from all your sins. We're trying to get healed when, boy, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ bore his body, boy, 39, 40 stripes, save one. That's for what purpose, Arthur? So that by his stripes we were healed. We're trying to get, man, all the blessings from God when God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places already. If you're not careful, we'll be trying to get what we already are. We be trying to get blessed when we already are blessed. You're already blessed of God. The Bible said, man, and God created man in his image and his likeness. The Bible say, and then God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. That's in Genesis chapter 1. What did he say? God created us in his image and gave us dominion over all the works of his hand on the earth. The Bible saying, God blessed them. What do you say, Arthur? And God blessed us already. So what God didn't bless can't be cursed. God didn't curse Adam. God cursed the ground, the earth. That's why it's on this earth like it is now instead of being on earth like it is in heaven. Why? Because, boy, the assignment that God gave Adam or all mankind to make earth a colony of heaven, Adam gave that dominion, that authority, that potential, that ability over into the hands of the devil. And the devil plunged our territory, the earth, into what it is here today. But all the time, the original intent, the original plan, and the original purpose and will of God, that it be in our lives here on earth, just as it is in heaven. What? That's what God's original intent was. That's what God's original desire was. That's what God's original purpose was. And let me tell you something. God's purpose is going to, like I told you, I read with you earlier, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord is going to prevail. When it's all said and done, baby, that's what it's going to be. And the good news is, man, you know, it ain't in the sweet by and by. God has already, man, restored that and translated us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son. But as you come to the knowledge of that, then you begin to live, man, not as the lost trying to get saved, but as the saved who was once lost but now saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How that song we sang, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind to what? I was blind to what? My free gift of salvation. I was blind to my free gift of righteousness. I was blind to my sovereignty, to my dominion, to my royal power. I was blind to, boy, who I really am and what I really can do. I was blind to all those things, you know. But what he did, boy, he opened blind eyes and I stopped deaf ears. That's what he was doing. And all that, boy, that he was doing was one a means to one end. And that was to let humanity know that all of the kingdom of hell is your inheritance. And that's available to you right now. But what I got to do, Arthur Boy, can you imagine, man, if for the last 2,000 years, man, the only thing the church would have been preaching is this gospel of the kingdom, that you are a mighty man and that you are a mighty woman of the Most High God, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, that the same character and the same nature that was on the inside of Jesus Christ, that was on the inside of the Most High God, is the same character and nature that's on the inside of you. And the same power that Jesus Christ had, man, that he operated in and displayed on the on this earth when he walked this earth, man, for those 33 and a half years, that same power and that same character and that same nature is on the inside of you. And if you'd have been preached that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and me. And if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it shall also, boy, quicken our mortal bodies too. It shall also raise us from the dead too. And see, if you've been preached death for the last 2,000 years, you wouldn't have no fear of death. That scripture that we be quoting at funerals all the time, but don't really have no understanding to it, it'll be a reality in your life. What scripture you talking about, Arthur? Where you say, oh, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Why? Because, boy, I'm talking about it won't be no sting. It won't be no victory. Why? Because you will know something, right? That you ain't never going to die. You got everlasting life. And one day there's going to be a transition. One day, you know, you're going to... Physical death is not a termination of life. It's a transition of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a termination of life. I tell you, you got everlasting life. And if you've been preached that, if you'd have been preached, boy, that as Jesus is, so are you. If you'd have been preached that, boy, the same works that Jesus did, same way Jesus cast out devils and healed all manner of sickness and diseases and unstopped deaf ears and caused the lame to walk and the dumb to talk and the blind to see, that same power is on the inside of you and I, that you and I can do the same thing just like Jesus did, that you and I can live in our lives here on this earth the same way Jesus Christ lived, man, in his life, my, while he was on this earth. If you'd have been preached dead for the last, for all your life, if that had been preached to the church for the last 2,000 years, man, you would have boldness and confidence in that. Why? You would have faith in that. Why? Because that's how faith comes, by hearing and hearing and hearing. But you ain't been hearing it. You ain't been hearing the gospel of the kingdom. You've been hearing all the other good messages and good news. And that, like I told you, that'll get you out of Egypt. That'll get you saved, but that won't get you your inheritance. That won't get you your power. We'll be living and dying like mere men and mere women when all the time, baby, like I said earlier, we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God that can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, how come we ain't doing all these things through Christ who strengthens us? And how come we ain't walking and talking and living the same way Jesus Christ lived on his earth? And how come we ain't casting out devils and opening blind eyes and not stopping death ears? And how come we don't see the mighty miracles, man, operating in our lives the way we saw operating in Jesus' life? Because you don't have no faith in who you are. Well, you got a lot of faith in who Jesus is. And the devil in hell can tell you that Jesus Christ can't open blind eyes and can't unstop death ears and can't heal the sick and raise the dead. Why? Because that's what you've been hearing. You've been hearing the gospel of Jesus, but you ain't been hearing the gospel that Jesus preached. The gospel that he preached was, as I am, so are you. The works that I do, you can do too. As the Father sent me, so send now you. That just like I'm the express image of the Father, and you are the express image of the Father too. He said this, if you want to see the Father, yeah. He said, hey, listen, well, then watch me. Take up your cross and follow me. If you want to live like I live, talk like I talk, walk like I walk, be like I am, have all power and dominion with the ability to rule and reign over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life, then, man, take up your cross and follow me. Come and learn of me. All you with heavy laden, come and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come follow me. Come be like me, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we ought to have that same consciousness too, not think it robbery, man, to be not God, not a God, not capital G God, but a little child of God, a little offspring of God, a little G God, under the governing influence, man, of the capital G, the big God, our Father, our source, our sustainer, Abba Father. That's source and sustainer. That we begin to be, man, just like him. Why we ain't got no faith in our power and our sovereignty and our ability and the thing that we can do on this earth is because you ain't been hearing the gospel, man, of the kingdom. It's been hid in the graveyard of religion, man, for the last 1,800 years. Probably for the first 200 years after Jesus Christ, man, was raised from the grave and went and took his seat at the right hand of the Father. And after the church began to be established and to grow from that time forward, man, in those first generations, first, you know, couple of hundred years, then they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But since then, it's been lost in the graveyard of religion. But the Bible says our traditions, our rituals, our ceremonial practices and everything else, and old covenants. And the Bible says it this way, our traditions have made the word of God a none effect. So when you hear, man, this is what I'm telling you now, then, boy, you got more confidence and trust and faith in your traditions than you have in the word of God. The word of God say all of the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance. And it's available to you right now. What I got to do, Arthur? Now I got to do now is just learn of it, learn the laws that governs it, learn the functioning principles of the kingdom of heaven, and start living that way. Why I ain't been living that way? Why I ain't been doing that? It's because you don't know. He say my people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. And man, especially here in the Western world, because we have very little concepts of kingdom life and kingdom living. We're not educated in kingdom. We don't know what a kingdom is. We don't know, you know, we don't know the culture of kingdom life. You know, you don't know that the whole Bible is about a king. It's about his kingdom. And it's about his royal family. That's all of us, his children, the whole Bible. It ain't about a religion. It's not about a democracy or a republic. It's about a kingdom. Everything in it is about a kingdom. But if you don't have no precept of kingdom and no concept of kingdom and no understanding of kingdom, then you won't. It'd be hard for you to receive it. Why? Because in our Western world, I know we've been brought up on a democracy. Well, you have your opinion, so you don't know much about kingdom. And our education, man, we haven't been educated, none of our schooling, man, since there's nothing to have, nothing. You don't know nothing about a kingdom. You don't know nothing about kingdom life, kingdom living, functioning principles of a kingdom, the attributes of a kingdom, the lifestyle of a kingdom. When that's what your Bible is all about, a kingdom. And it ain't about just any kingdom, it's about the kingdom of heaven. So if you don't have no concept of the kingdom of heaven, and if your concept is that you hope that you would get there in the sweet by and by, then, hey, listen, you won't pursue it. That won't be your priority. That won't be your number one priority. You know what God's number one priority is? It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What does it say, Lord? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you have need of that pertains to life and a godly life and a good life and an abundant life, all those things be added unto us. In other words, you won't have to take no thought for what you're going to eat, how you're going to live, how you're going to make it. You won't have to take no thought for all that. Why? Because the Bible says your heavenly Father know that you have need of all those things. So if you seek first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things, and all of the kingdom of heaven, all of the treasures of heaven, all of the attributes of heaven, all of the lifestyle of heaven, all these things that be added, glory to God, unto us. We in all the world when we make that our priority. I'm going to ask you a question. And you know, and it's just food for thought. Are you seeking first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? I mean, is that your priority? If that's your number one priority, because that's God's number one priority for your life, what? Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. So, like I said, if you don't have no concept of the kingdom and kingdom life, then you won't pursue that. If you don't know that all of the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance, then you won't go after your inheritance. Listen, if somebody left you $1 million in the bank, and boy, I'm talking about they came and showed you the will and the testament and everything else and read it to you, and you find out, boy, that it was real and legit, it ain't a devil in hell could stop you, man, from finding out, boy, what bank your money is in, and for you going and pursue your inheritance, that $1 million. But listen, I'm talking about an inheritance that's far greater than any $1 million, than $1 billion, than $1 trillion. What inheritance are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about all of the kingdom of heaven. Why you ain't seeking that? Because you don't have no confidence and trust in there and assurance in there that that's your inheritance. Why? Because you ain't been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that. And why? Because that's how faith comes. So if you don't have no confidence and trust in there, then that's not going to be your number one priority. But boy, we'd have been hearing that and hearing that and hearing that and hearing that. Boy, I'm talking about it. Like I told you, a devil in hell will stop you from pursuing, boy, all of the kingdom of heaven that's available to you right now. Hey, listen, you know, as I prepare to close this radio broadcast, you know, I just have one desire, you know, and I just have, like I told you, one assignment, and that's to come on this radio broadcast and to all means necessary, you know, and that's, man, to help you come to the knowledge, boy, and to help you to rediscover the gospel of the kingdom so that you might know something, right? So that you might know that you know that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that everything is all right in the kingdom of heaven, and that no more flaming swords, angels there with flaming swords to keep you out of it. Boy, there's a door there now, you know, and the door don't have no lock on it, you know. And boy, I'm talking about it's open 24/7, man. And that door is Jesus Christ, you know. He's the door. And no man, you can't come to the kingdom of heaven except you come through the door. The Bible says if you come any other way, you're a thief and a robber. But don't just stop at the door and worship the door and be preoccupied with the door. Yes, come to the door. And yes, come to the door. And yes, worship the door. And yes, but don't stop there. That's my point. Come on in and get what's behind the door. What? All the righteousness that you're ever going to be. That's behind the door. All the peace that passes all understanding. That's behind the door. All of the godliness and the God kind of life, all of the righteousness of God, all that heaven consists of, all of the treasures of heaven, all the healing that you're ever going to need, all the deliverance that you're ever going to need, all the peace, all of the provisions that you're ever going to need, everlasting life, all that, that's behind the door. Forgiveness of all our sins, all that's behind the door. Come get your inheritance. Where that's at, that's behind the door. What my desire is and what my appeal is, just come on to the door and come on through the door and get everything, man, that's behind that door that is your inheritance, man. What is that, Arthur? All of the kingdom of heaven and all that heaven consists of, that's what's behind the door. That's what's behind, man, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's behind all that Jesus Christ came and did for in his life here on the earth. All that is a means to one end, what? So that, boy, you can have restored back to you all of the kingdom of heaven that was ours and that was prepared for us before the foundations of the world. Listen, I decree and declare this, that you are as saved as you're ever going to be. All you got to do is receive it. Now, if you don't receive your free gift of salvation, then you can die in your sin and you'll split hell wide open. So why do that when all the time salvation is a free gift from God? Everlasting life is a free gift from God. The Bible says the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hey, listen, family, my time is up on this radio broadcast, and I trust that this radio broadcast is a blessing to you. And we would like to come on this radio broadcast, you know, more than just once a week. You know, we come on every Saturday from 12 to 1 o'clock. But we believe in God, boy, to provide for us more airtime so that we can come on this radio broadcast every day, man. And just, boy, open blind eyes who are blinded to the truths of God's word and the gospel of the kingdom. To unstop deaf ears, not just physical ears, but those who can't hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. To raise the dead. I'm not just talking about physical death, but those who are dead in salvation and trespass and sin that don't know, boy, about the free gift of salvation, man. Hallelujah. And to do the same thing that Jesus Christ did, man. Go about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, destroying the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? To keep you from the gospel of the kingdom of God and your inheritance. Listen, I decree and declare that everything is all right in your life. And as you come to the knowledge of it, that you'll begin to live that and experience that in this life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. If you would like to help us or support us or any kind of way, you can contact us at 713-870-3776. If you would like to support this radio broadcast and help us to get more airtime